Morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Valentine's Day edition of the morning show. 9:04 on the clock. Got Melissa and James here with you. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning, James.
I hope you're having a great start to your day out there, everybody. Thanks for kicking it off with us. I'm going to get into some entertainment news now. When we come back from our first break here, Melissa's got some fun stuff for us we're going to dive into. Looking forward to that.
That'll be fun, but it'll be interesting.
Interesting can be fun. Then we'll have a Then a Right story for you a little bit later, and then some good stories of the day. We're going to get into all of that, but I'm going to kick off with some entertainment news. And just because it's Valentine's Day, and I'm kicking off our entertainment news with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. Don't read into that. Don't read into that. Just happen to think that the two funniest people on the planet. That's just me. That's just my opinion.
You're entitled to your opinion.
I am a humongous fan of these two, though. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are going on tour, surprisingly, for the first time together. It's called the Restless Leg Tour, and they'll be sharing jokes and stories of their 30 years of friendship. They said in a joint statement, quote, "If this tour goes right, we can finally end this friendship." It kicks off on April 28th in Washington, D.C., and they'll stop in Chicago, Boston, and Atlantic City. It is very similar to Steve Martin and Martin Short's show.
Okay.
What they did and what they can, I think they're still touring. I think they're still doing that tour, Martin and Martin.
Oh, really?
Steve Martin and Martin Short. I think they're calling it Martin and Martin.
Okay.
And it's actually a throwback to the old days of comedians, of, you know, Martin and Lewis, or, George Burns and his wife, the Stillers, like a lot of those kind of like couple comedies that used to be, has kind of evolved to like friend comedy. And these lifetime friendships, like Steve Martin and Martin Short, had known each other for over 40 years.
Right.
They built a chemistry together. Seeing them on stage, seeing them in TV shows, I cannot stress enough how great that Only Murders in the Building Are is. It's such a great show, and it's so much because those two are so darn good together. Selena Gomez blows me away. I've admitted this before. I'm very late to that party. She's incredible. But Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, they have actually gotten to work together. Like Steve Martin and Martin Short, they really weren't in a ton of movies and things like that together. These two, like half of their, I would say good 30% of their body of work, if not more than that, maybe more 40% of the body of their work is together. And it would even be even more. They started out at Second City together. They come from my stomping grounds, and I'm a little biased about that, I'll admit. But I'm very proud of our school, and I'm proud of all the people that have come from Second City.
Yeah.
They are two of our finest artists to come from there. Those two, along with Rachel Dratch, were the three amigos at Second City. They changed things at Second City in many, many ways. I'm proud of Second City always putting women in comedy forward. Gilda Radner, Jane Curtin, so many great actresses, they helped get a start. It changed with Tina and Amy. Tina and Amy decided, no, we're treating this the way we men do. We're treating this the way you guys. We're gonna get heard. Gilda Radner used to talk about how she would have to fight to get heard in the writer's room and things like that. Nobody had to fight. Tina, Amy, they were so talented, they were so good. They just pushed them up there. I can't imagine how good that show would be. I doubt I'll be able to go or get tickets or anything, but I would just love to see that, especially in Chicago. My God, in Chicago, their roots, where they're... Oh, man, that would be so cool. That's going to be a good show, I bet. Robert Downey Jr., they're just going to take a second on this one. Jon Favreau received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday. A big congratulations to him. Jon Favreau, a longtime actor, writer, worked with Vince Vaughn early on in his career. Swingers is still one of my favorite movies. It's a great one. And, of course, has gone on to get behind the camera. He has directed some of the biggest Marvel movies, helped write some of the biggest Marvel movies. He's happy in the Iron Man movies and everything. And he's also the writer and creator of The Mandalorian. And behind all of that and a big Star Wars stuff, like his arc of his career has gone a route that none of us saw coming and mm-hmm. are so happy for him for. He's a great guy. He deserves this. Robert Downey Jr. and him go way back, very good friends. They were there to support him. Chef Roy Choi was there as well. He's the founder of Kogi Barbecue Taco Truck because this is another big passion of Jon Favreau's, supporting local food restaurants and good food and all that. He did a movie about it. So they were both there, and Robert Downey Jr., being Robert Downey Jr., christened this by putting his chewing gum on his star the whole day. they're posing for the photo and everything, and John, he bent down and said, quote, hold on, just for a second, just to make it official, and then he put the piece of gum on there. And I just love that. Nobody liked Downey. Nobody liked him. Love him. Barney is being relaunched.
Barney?
Yeah. Every adult's least favorite purple dinosaur is coming back again. Mattel is relaunching Barney as an animated series in 2024. There's also a possibility of movies and YouTube content. And there will be, quote, an apparel and accessories for adult fans.
Oh, my.
If you know of any adult Barney fans...
I love you. You love me.
I learned from my mom and dad. My mom and dad were all about, hey, if it ain't bad for them, if they're not going to be bad influenced by it or anything. There's an eagle flying right overhead of us right now. That is so beautiful. My God, that just never gets old. My parents were like, hey, he likes Fraggle Rock. Let him watch Fraggle Rock. That's fine. You know, as long as I watched some stuff that maybe I was a little too young to be watching, but that was with my dad and everything.
Hmm.
My kids, they could watch my ex-wife and I, they could watch whatever they wanted except Barney. Barney? Oh, no. Barney and Teletubbies.
Oh.
There was something weird about them. Now, we that's what we went into it as parents saying and everything. But we, you know, okay, hey, they're kids. If they like, they didn't like either of those. They didn't want to watch them anyway. They did not. My son did not like Barney. He was not a fan.
I watched Barney when I babysat when I was little. Younger. Like, I was young.
They're tapping into nostalgia. That's what they're going for here, is going for the nostalgia with parents and hoping that the kids will, you know. On the surface, I would think that Barney would be a very likable character.
He might be more likable
till he opens his mouth.
Animated character, though.
Yeah, as an animated character, I think actually might they're probably going to have a lot better of a shot at this. And the highest paid entertainers of 2022. Forbes magazine has released the list of the highest paid entertainers. And the only reason I wanted to talk about this is because it's so weird to see who the top spots belong to.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of us would throw out names like Taylor Swift and Beyonce or big name actors, you know, things like that.
It's not you and me, right?
We did not make the top 10. No, we did not. I believe we are 945.
Thousand.
So the top grosser was Genesis, the band,
really?
At $230 million.
Whoa.
Sting was next at $210 million.
Thanks.
He also sold his catalog this year, so that's part of the reason.
Okay.
Number three, Tyler Perry, not as surprising, $175 million. He's the only actual billionaire on this year's list. Number four, South Park, the creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Good for them.
Yeah. I was so excited about this. $160 million. Most of that comes from a deal they signed with Paramount in 2021, guaranteeing them $935 million over 6 years.
Wow.
That little animated show that they did as a, it was supposed to be a Christmas card that some corporate people like paid them to create. And they make this little like snippet thing and put it out there, and they put it online, and it starts gaining traction, and they turn it into a cartoon that has made them $935 million. That's just that deal, let alone all the other stuff they made.
Everything else that it's, wow.
And speaking of cartoons, The Simpsons comes in at number five. Creators James L. Brooks and Matt Groening, $105 million. They're pocketing big money from Disney's acquisition of Fox and the migration of those shows from Fox to Disney Plus. But again, Matt Groening goes into that meeting with Fox. Oh, my Life in Hell comic. That's what I'm going to sell. But I can't. I got to have two ideas. Nobody goes in with just one idea. What if they don't like it? I'm ruining my one bit. I have nothing. I got nothing. Literally 10 minutes before he's going into the meeting. Well, I got a dad, Homer. I got a mom, Marge. My sisters, Lisa and Maggie. And I don't like Matt. I'll call him Bart. And I'll just do a, you know, like a Flintstones kind of thing. I'll sell them and everything. And they won't like that, but I'll bring that up first. And then I'll bring home My Life in Hell. That's my home run. That's my, never even got to the second bit. Never even got to the second idea. Oh, we love it. Simpsons sounds great. Let's run with it. A little snippet on the Tracy Ullman show to help them in between scenes, because the Tracy Ullman show was live. So they had needed something to help them in between, you know, costume changes and everything. Mm-hmm. So you have this little animated sketch that gets, goes on there, and a dad talking about frosty chocolate milkshakes and strangling his son and all this. And it turns into that.
Wow. The How many longest, seasons of Simpsons are?
36, right, wow. And counting.
Right. They're not done yet.
Longest running show of all time.
Wow.
And the greatest show of all time. I mean, that is my opinion. There's no basis of that whatsoever. Number six, Brad Pitt. Really? Pulled in 100 mil. First time that we're seeing just an actor on this list. Brad sold his, just not an actor, I should say. Brad sold his stake in the production company Plan B and also earned money from movies like Bullet Train, Babylon, and The Lost City.
Okay.
Bullet Train, sneaky good movie.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that one. Did you see it?
I think I did.
Okay. I thought it was really good.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different one.
Number seven on the list, the Rolling Stones, 98 mil. They were
surprised there.
Yeah, they were making 8.5 mil per night on their 15 city European tour. 8.5 mil a night.
Jinx.
James Cameron at number eight with the Avatar movie, The Way of Water. And then Taylor Swift at number nine, 92 million. The only woman on this year's list. She released Midnights in October. Then in November, her fans crashed Ticketmaster trying to get tickets for her upcoming tour.
Right. Yes.
And number 10 on the list, Bad Bunny. 88 mil. He made his cash from 2 hours and endorsement deals with Corona, Cheetos, and Adidas. Two tours.
I was going to say 2 hours?
I misspoke. Sorry. That'd be hilarious.
That'd be impressive.
He's pretty impressive. As big as Taylor Swift is, and she is worldwide famous and everything, there's Taylor Swift famous, and then there's like Latin artist famous, like a Bad Bunny, where, yeah, he's big in the States here, and in Chile, and in Colombia, and in Mexico, and, I mean, you know, and keep going. It's just such a difference between famous and world famous. And not saying that Taylor Swift isn't world famous, but her fame compared to here in the States and the rest of the world, not the same. It's very similar to looking at back in the day of how big, like, American bands were doing rock and roll, and how big the Beatles were, and how big the Rolling Stones were. It's different. Different types, different levels of fame. I just like the list just because of seeing some odd names on there. I don't know.
It's interesting. I did not see Bullet Train. I was thinking of Snowpiercer.
That wasn't bad.
No, but it's also from like 2013.
Yeah, but it wasn't a bad movie. I didn't think it was
It was actually pretty interesting.
I like Chris Evans a lot, so I went into it to see it because of him, and I ended up liking it. I never saw the TV show.
I didn't see the TV show either, but the movie was interesting. And I like Tilda Swinton.
Yes, such a good actor. So good. I'd watch anything she's in.
Yeah.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back, and we got a fun topic coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio, 9:19 on the clock. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Melissa and James here with you, and Mel brought in something fun for us today.
So I have this book. It's called, I got to find the title page, Grandmother's Household Hints, As Good Today as Yesterday. Copyrighted 1963.
Ooh.
I actually expected it to be older than that based on some of the recipes in here, but some of them obviously are from yesterday. The yesterday of 1963.
Might have been printed in the 60s, but some of the ideas, I see.
Yeah, of these old recipes are interesting.
And and I remember now, because we were talking about life hacks and you know, those kind of home remedies and those kind of things. I remember now.
You brought this up. So there's different chapters in here, like the house, kitchen, you know, about around the house, household skills and servant problems, the wash day lineup, some tips on laundering, a Jacqueline's of all trades.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there's some beauty aids and for women only.
Oh.
Section, which, okay, I want to read one of those for you.
Yeah, okay.
So, escaping from a runaway team.
Whoa.
We have seen ladies in these circumstances scream wildly and throw their arms out the windows, thus risking broken limbs. Thing to do is sit quietly and composed and roll with the fall. If runaway is in a gig, either sit still collectedly or drop out the back, face forward, and fall on your hands. Never jump from a rapidly moving vehicle unless you see a precipice in front. In which case, any risk is better than remaining still. But always jump in the direction your vehicle is heading.
Oh my gosh. Tips on how to run away. Wow.
From how to get out of a runaway vehicle.
Yeah. Whoa. That is very interesting. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then it gets into some of the different things you can do to treat home remedy type stuff here. Okay. So facial eruptions on young girls.
Whoa.
I'm just going to read that title to you. Yeah. Then we're going to move on. Tattoo designs on the skin.
Huh.
I thought you might find this interesting. Many husbands embarrass their wives with uncouth tattoo marks, adornments they had placed on the skin in younger days. These marks, depending on the basic inks used, may disappear by daily rubbings with a salve of pure acetic acid and lard, followed by one of a solution of potash, and winding up with an application of hydrochloric acid.
Whoa.
I mean, yes, I think that would remove the tattoo and the skin.
Yes. It leaves nothing but bone. There's a, whoa. Could you imagine? Whoa.
Yeah. Here's another one. And obviously, none of these I would recommend doing, but removing a foreign substance from the eye. Insert a grain of flaxseed under the lower lid and close the lids. The seed usually becomes surrounded by a thick mucilage, which entraps the foreign body and carries it out the corner of the eye.
And that's our That Ain't Right story of the day. I would hope that somebody's got the flaxseed in their hand and like, wait, what am I doing? I'm not doing this.
I'm putting
something in my eye to get something out of my eye. That doesn't make any...
And some of these, so I was looking up the...
That just got me. Yeah. That one got me.
So to deal with light nose drips, 1 dram of fluid extract of hydrastin.
Whoa.
And 1/2 dram of carbolic acid in 1 quart of water as hot as can be borne. Sniff this mixture into nostrils.
Whoa.
So I was trying to look up what hydrastin is, and it's an early drug that was invented in like 1910, and it was used to stop bleeding. Basically.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, so that makes sense. Yeah, dries up your
actually
mucous
that one's
membranes.
Not. I was afraid they were going to tell you to drink it or something like that. Like just inhaling it. That doesn't seem so bad. That one actually it seemed like the tamest of these so far. How are there still people? Like how have we survived?
How did they survive? I don't know because there's some recipes in there that are pretty awful. Like put hydrochloric acid on our skin. Sure.
Yeah.
But there's some that are really good. Like here, preventing cold feet at bedtime.
Mm.
Draw off your stockings just before undressing and rub your ankles and feet well with your hands for 5 to 10 minutes as hard as you can bear the pressure. This simple measure is very effective. It is hardly conceivable what a pleasurable glow this diffuses.
Huh. Well, actually, I might try that one. I've got frostbite in my toes, and my feet get cold so quick.
Yeah.
So I'm the guy that has to wrap his feet up in the blanket at the bottom and all that. And
well, and if you think about it, rubbing them like that is going to draw the blood there, and you're going to get increase the circulation. That one's really good.
I might try that one.
Here's another one I thought was interesting. How to test the purity of air in a sick room.
Hmm.
Fill a glass tumbler with lime water. Place it on any convenient position. The rapidity in which a pellicule forms on its surface, which is a skin, corresponds to the amount of the impurities in the air of the room.
Hmm. Wow.
I don't know how you measure that.
I don't know how. Yeah. I think it's kind of cool. I think it's kind of neat, but I don't know how you do it. Yeah.
So it's a thick book. I haven't read the whole thing. And in the back end here, there are a ton of recipes to like another way to make beef tea, calf's foot broth, wine whey.
Mm.
I mean, there's some interesting things in here. I should just sit and read this sometime. To kill cockroaches and beetles.
Mm. I would like this to be part one of this of this segment. The next time you have time and you find some more for you, for us and everything, we'll bring it back. And it's old school life hacks. It's old school life hacks.
We'll give you some you shouldn't do, and then maybe some that might still work.
Yeah,
like I would rubbing love to your be feet able to, before bed.
I'm definitely going to try that. I think. That was really cool, Melissa. Thank you for that.
No problem.
What was the name of the book again? Just in case anybody out there.
Grandmother's Household Hints, I believe. I can't read it on the.
It's an
Grandmother's
old book.
Household Hints.
Grandmother's Household Hints. I like that. That's good. We'll take a quick break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and we're going to get into the top love songs of all time. Aha. We'll come back with that on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. It's the morning show here at WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Hope you're having a good one out there. Melissa and James here with you. I love this song.
I thought it was going to be Petticoat Junction.
That'd have been good too. Maybe I think it might be my favorite Billy Joel song, Allentown. And speaking of music, we're going to get into that right now. And I started our show today with talking about famous favorite love songs. Mm-hmm. I think everybody's got their own. There's no wrong answer. It's what is a great love song to you. Different mm-hmm. people like different styles of music, different genres. So, of course, different people, different songs.
Yes.
Melissa and I talked about this quite a bit and everything, and we had some fun with the topic. I thought one of I mentioned as far as duets go, "You're All I Need to Get By" from "All I Need to Get By" from Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, mm-hmm. "Unforgettable" from Nat King Cole. I think are those "In a Sentimental Mood" from John Coltrane and Miles Davis. I think is the most romantic song of all time. But as far as songs with lyrics and all that. But those are my opinions. That's just my take and my style. Mm-hmm. Melissa mentioned a bit, and now we go to science.
Okay.
You can have your opinions, but this is science. Science! Billboard put together a list of the top 50 love songs of all time. They took all the songs with the word love in the title from the history of the Hot 100 and ranked them by performance. Okay. So here we go. Number one on the list, "Endless Love" from Diana Ross and Lionel Richie from 1981.
Okay.
That's a pretty classic one. Yeah. That's a pretty well-known one. And it's interesting to see that as number one since it's a bit older.
Mm-hmm.
Not as surprising, to me at least, and maybe to you, number two, "I'll Make Love to You" from Boys to Men from 1994.
Oh, I do like that one.
It's a good one. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge hit. Mm-hmm. Huge hit.
Yeah.
"How Deep Is Your Love" from the Bee Gees from 1977.
Okay.
An interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting. Now, this is the first modern or more newish one
more
to
new-ish.
Be on the list. And I didn't know if it's Rihanna featuring Calvin Harris from 2011, "We Found Love."
Okay.
And the beat is probably more
recognizable.
Yeah.
You could dance to.
Yeah, and I've heard this beat a billion times before. I heard it a billion times before I knew it was those two.
What it was.
Yeah. It's a good song. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a sucker for Rihanna, so it's a good song. But it's just noteworthy, I think, because it's one of the newer ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I didn't know it was her either. I know this song.
She's got a chameleon voice. Mm-hmm. She's got one of those voices that goes with the beat, goes with the song so well.
Mm-hmm.
As an incredible artist. Number five on the list, "Silly Love Songs" from Wings.
Silly Love Songs.
One of the more popular songs that Wings had.
Okay.
1976, you got Paul McCartney writing a song. One of the greatest love writers of all time, mm-hmm. I think, Paul McCartney. I think he was actually better than Lennon in that respect. I think Lennon was better about writing about people, writing about humans, writing about human feelings and experiences and all of the emotional rainbow that we have. Whereas if you're talking love, Paul McCartney and George Harrison just... They had a feel for it and, mm-hmm. and a way to do it, something in the way. "Silly Little Love Songs" is a good one, too. But there's so many that those two, like some of my favorite love songs of all time are written by those guys.
Okay.
That one, not one of them, though. I don't like that song. I actually don't like that song. It's like one of the very few Wings songs I don't like. "I Will Always Love You" from Whitney Houston from 1992 is number six. The only surprising thing there is it's number six on the list.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be higher. Let Me Love You from Mario from 2005. One of the more newer ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because I Love You, the Postman song from Stevie B from 1990.
Oh.
I Love Rock and Roll from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts from 1982. Yes, it is not a love song technically.
It's not a love song. It's a love song about rock.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. Sure.
Best of My Love from The Emotions from 1977. That is one of the most catchy songs of all time to me. Whoa, whoa. Got the best of my life.
Yeah, that one is pretty catchy.
Oh, it's a good song. Good song. I like that one a lot. I am shocked, and I do mean shocked, Stevie Wonder is not on this list.
Really?
Signed, sealed, and delivered. I Was Made to Love You.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it just the man has some of the greatest love songs of all time.
Hmm.
And they're popular songs, too. And they're old enough to where they've had many years to gain records, you know, play and all that.
Yeah.
So I'm very surprised that he didn't make the top 10, that not one Stevie Wonder song didn't make the top 10.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I think as far as artists go writing about love, Stevie Wonder may be the best overall at it. At writing like just talking about your traditional love songs and that kind of thing. Like Stevie, from a very young age, was able to do it. But there's no wrong answer. And if you got a song out there that didn't make the list, that's okay. Jam to it and enjoy it.
Yeah, why not?
There is plenty of music out there for everybody to enjoy and take in.
There's a really pretty country duet, and I was trying to find it, and I couldn't find it, of course. but that my boyfriend sent me pretty early on when we were dating that I really liked. It's one of his favorite songs, and I couldn't find it because I don't remember the name because I'm terrible like that. But I also really like Love Somebody Like You by Keith Urban.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think that's a really pretty country love song.
It's not a traditional love song, and I know that it doesn't, it's not really about love. It's more about love ending, I believe. But The Dance from Garth Brooks is one of those classic kind of like, but that doesn't really hit the same mark as some of these others and everything that we're talking about here. We'll take a break. We'll come back and let's get our last break out of the way. Let's do that. We'll get our last break out of the way. We'll come back. Got an interesting one we'll dive into. And then that ain't right story. Some good stories of the day and plenty more lined up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you, and got an interesting one here. Is having breakfast in bed on Valentine's Day romantic or a horror show? It depends on who you ask and what the food is.
Mm-hmm.
In a new poll, 44% of people said eating in bed is romantic, although 39% said that that's mainly breakfast in bed, not other meals.
Mm-hmm.
Probably don't want to have ribs in bed.
I pretty much don't want to eat anything in bed. Mm. Maybe cookies.
I'm with you on this. Yes. 22% said it's okay if the bedding is being changed that day.
Yeah.
And 17% said that the idea of eating in bed is nicer than actually doing it.
I agree with that.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
52% of people said that they can't enjoy eating in bed because they're worried about making a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And 26% said that food should not be allowed in the bedroom under any circumstance.
Yes.
And we'll get more into that in a second. I do want to take a pause for a moment here because we're talking about this on Valentine's Day and the idea of your significant other making you breakfast in bed. And we're kind of telling you, no, I don't know how great that is. That might be more romantic in a movie than in actual real life. I will say this does not have anything to do with kids making you breakfast in bed.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different story. I'm all in favor of that. I welcomed that when I got it a little bit as a dad and stuff. And I mean, it just
usually happens on Father's Day or Mother's Day.
Doesn't care. Doesn't matter that the toast is burnt, that the eggs weren't even hacked, like real eggs, like just eggs on the plate.
Just two just eggs in shell.
Didn't matter. Didn't
not
matter.
Not cooked.
I will never forget that moment. I will never in my whole life forget that moment. Aww. I did not. And I'm a bit of a borderline neat freak. I'm like you or a little bit, at least what you were touching on there. I don't like crumbs in the bed and food in the bed. I didn't care. I didn't like that was different. That was completely different.
You can always change the sheets.
Yes. Yeah.
But on a regular basis, not so much.
Yeah. And as far as like adults doing this for adults, you know, do some planning. Find out the things that they like. A donut, like a croissant or whatever, like a
something
breakfast.
Something easy.
Yes.
Like a donut and coffee.
And I do think that that's a great plan to do it. Like, plan out, like, you're going to change the sheets anyway, you know? So why not? It's not a big deal that you get a little bit of crumbs in there and everything. Yeah. You're not going to be, by the time you change the sheets and put new sheets in, you'll be sleeping. Like, you won't be sleeping in between then.
Correct.
So, doesn't seem like a bad idea. You could tell I've done this and thought about this before. Because I don't like food in bed, but I also, I'm, you know, like
a hopeless romantic.
Yes, yes. So,
and it is a sweet thing to do, like to surprise somebody with breakfast in bed, if that's something they'd be okay with. Know your audience.
Yes, yes. Always know your, because it can't, the one thing I will say about any of this stuff you're doing today, if you're doing it with, you know, like, The great Homer Simpson learned from buying his wife a bowling ball because he wanted one he had forgotten to get her something. So she took that bowling ball and used it herself and learned to bowl and all that.
Yeah.
If you're doing this for yourself, they're going to know. They're going to they're going to feel it in one way or another, and it's not going to mean as much.
It's not going to work out the way you wanted it to.
No, do this from the heart. It's got to be from the heart, or it's just not there. It's just not, it doesn't mean the same.
Correct.
The but some foods are worse than others as far as bringing into the bedroom. The poll produced a list of 10 acceptable foods to eat in bed beyond just breakfast. They were fruit, chocolate,
yes,
yogurt, ice cream,
okay,
pizza,
no,
a burger, nope, cake. That's really testing it. It's really testing it. Biscuits. Sandwiches.
Biscuits like cookies, yes.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. That could, that would sense. Work. I'm thinking of the like
actual like yeah, biscuits. Southern biscuits. No.
Sandwiches and pie.
Okay.
I guess, yeah.
I would vote for pie over cake in bed. Less crumbs.
Now, the sandwich thing, though, we're talking sandwiches, not subs, because a sub is messy.
Yes.
There's also a list of the 10 foods that people think should be banned from beds.
Banned from beds.
That's the first time the word banned has ever been funny to me, I think. that word is always, that's kind of funny. So soup. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pasta and sauce.
Yeah.
Stir fry.
No.
Curry.
No.
Fish and chips.
No.
Tacos.
No.
A hot dog.
Hot dog, I could see.
I guess a hot dog might be, especially compared to these other things.
Well, and especially if it's just a hot dog.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in a bun with ketchup. Yeah, not like one of those.
Seems pretty safe.
Chicago dogs or something crazy.
Yes, yeah. Ramen. No. No.
Probably not.
Sausage and mashed potato. A sausage and a mashed potato, I guess. What kind of meal is that? What are you doing?
Who makes a sausage and a mashed potato? It's just
the weirdest meal ever. Like, you definitely forgot some stuff.
Missed a few steps.
And finally, a roast dinner.
Roast dinner, like a roast beef?
I guess.
With potatoes and And
who's
carrots.
Who's doing this?
Bed.
I love the
idea. These are people that don't have a kitchen table.
Yes.
Or apparently. A living room.
Or maybe somebody.
They have a bed and a kitchen.
There's that person that takes things too far. Like, it's one thing. Oh, breakfast and like, we'll want to make them dinner in bed or something. Okay, well, it's going to be like a 3-course meal.
Yeah,
like,
we're making this fancy.
The chef comes in like, hey, I'm not even dressed properly. What's going on in here? This ain't right.
Nice.
That's a fun one. There was a story about somebody being delivered chicken noodle soup because they were sick on Valentine's Day and they really enjoyed that.
Well, and that makes sense to eat in bed if you're sick.
But that,
you're going to be changing the sheets soon anyway.
Right. That's one of those ones that's interesting. You know what's also interesting is the difference of men and women in changing sheets. and I know this because I'm not apparently I'm not a quote unquote traditional guy with this. I change my sheets when they're dirty, or if anything, a week or two, week and a half, like around there. That's when I change mine. Just being honest, I don't know if that's the right or proper way to do it, but that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, I'm hearing we had a big debate yesterday.
Right.
Who was better about this in class? And the women dominated this subject because the guys were the ones ones bringing it up. They asked for it. Like one of the guys in this class was like, I think guys are better about this. I think men are better about this. And he started, and me and Brian, the other teacher, were just being quiet. We're just like, let him talk.
Let you hang yourself, buddy.
Let them do this and everything. And so a girl chimed in and she's like, well, let's poll. Let's ask. Mm-hmm. And they went around the room. And most of the girls were like, we're saying that the guys went first. And they were all like, a month. Like 2 months, maybe. Are they dirty? That kind of thing. Like,
these are good answers.
Yeah, and
they're feeling
so
solid about this.
And everything. Yes. And then the horrified looks of every woman in that class.
A month? And this is why my makeup melts off my face when I sleep on your sheets.
Right. Yes. Yeah. But it was actually, I think, for a couple of those younger guys, it was really good for them to hear this. Yes. If they plan on dating.
Yeah.
If they plan on being alone, then it's completely different. But if they ever plan on actually being with somebody, then probably a good thing to know. Our feature goods, That Ain't Right story of the day is kind of interesting. It's not your traditional one that we normally do. Some experts say you should refresh your underwear collection every 6 months. Others say you can keep your boxers from college as long as they're being regularly washed and not falling apart.
Who can afford to do that?
Yeah. But when you do buy new underwear, women will pay more than men, at least as far as taxes go. And this is the That Ain't Right part of the story.
Yeah.
A new report shows that the U.S. charges different tariff rates on underwear imports. The average tariff rate on a woman's undergarments is 15.5% compared to just 11.5% for men. It doesn't have to do with the material. There are at least three different underwear categories, and the tariffs on female products are more in each case. One expert says it's just gender bias in the system, and that the most other countries have a flat rate for underwear, so the U.S. system is unusual. So how does that affect you? On average, the import tariff adds about $1.10 to the cost of each women's underwear item, but just 75 cents for men. That ain't right.
No.
That ain't right. That
absolutely
makes
is
no
not right.
Dang sense whatsoever.
But does it surprise me, James?
No.
Which is sad.
Not. So we're going to pay women less, but we're going to make them pay more for things they need, like, you know, toiletry items, or because I didn't want to say just tampons because it's more than just that.
Mm-hmm. Hygiene
products is the proper way to put that.
Yep.
Underwear, we're going to pay them less, but we're going to make them pay more on these things. Like,
let's talk about razors for a second.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Women's razors are expensive. They're also lower quality than men's razors.
Yeah.
I know that from personal experience. It's ridiculous.
I like to, this is where I always like to like combat back with people, because I was raised by a feminist. I like to think that I'm pretty understanding on this subject matter and about a lot of these things. I don't know jack. I don't know anything when it comes to this subject matter. I need to be reminded of that, like many other people do from time to time, because people, it's all well and good to be on the right side of history, to be an ally, but it doesn't do any good if you're not constantly learning. Like, there's always room to grow. There's always learn to be more open-minded, to be able to understand more. I brought this up before about when Terry and I were talking about going to the bar, and how for my whole life it's been one way, and for her whole life it's been a very different way.
Right.
And that was very eye-opening to me. That was very different. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've had conversations with my brothers about situations, and they're like, and even with my boyfriend, he's like, I have no idea how to advise you on that. That is something that has never, ever happened to me as a man. I don't know what to say.
The razor comment is really eye-opening. Like, that just blew up. Because I don't know if guys or women go through razors more. I think it's pretty close. But I would think women go through razors probably faster.
Well, we shave more of our body than you do.
Right, there's a lot more to cut.
Most women. Some men prefer to shave more than just their face.
On your average.
That's okay, too.
And I've never understood how my mom would always have the disposable razors, but my dad would always have these nicer, fancier razors. And it wasn't because my dad didn't want my mom to buy those. My mom didn't want to waste money on nice razors when they just don't work as well, and they're gone right away. So she just went ahead and bought the cheaper ones and everything,
those
pink disposable ones or whatever.
Well, because I know a lot of women that buy those, they use them once, and then throw them away. How awful is that for our environment?
Yeah.
Why don't we just have as good of razors in the pretty pink female colors? I mean, for years, I have bought men's razors because it's fun, you know, financially a better investment.
Yeah.
They last longer. They are better quality. I don't have to buy as replacement razors as often. And then you want to get on the underwear comment where this whole thing started.
Yeah.
I have been personally struggling lately because some of my undergarments aren't what society looks at as pretty.
Oh, yeah.
And attractive. Yeah. But guess what? They're comfortable.
Yeah. That's all that matters.
And should I give up comfort for something that looks good when I take my clothes off?
I don't think so, at least.
I mean, and for men, do they have that same... I'm asking you. Do you have that same thought in your head when you're buying undergarments?
No. I would say that if I'm with somebody, maybe I might think about it a bit and everything. But on average, no. No, I'm the only one that's probably going to see him. So I don't really worry too much
about
it.
It's all about comfort.
Yep. Yeah. All. Oh, yes. Absolutely. 1,000% about comfort before anything else. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But are there men's underwear that are made that are uncomfortable?
Probably. But I don't
know. But uncomfortable because of fashion?
Oh, yeah. See,
or just uncomfortable because of personal fit.
No, I wouldn't say so. Yeah, personal. I would, like, to me, whitey tighties are uncomfortable. Like, but that's okay. Nobody's
they're
ever said
they're also fairly unattractive.
Yes,
but.
Yes. but on the comfort level, what you're talking about and everything, I don't wear them, but I know of men's underwear out there that are a little like that, but nowhere near close to what it is with women. Like, we're still talking comfort. We're still talking like, yeah, everything's snug. Yeah, right. to find a way to tell this on the air.
I know we're talking about kind of a risque
topic.
All
right. But that's all right.
You know, I mean, on Valentine's Day, there are going to be more of those types of sales. Or pressure to wear those things to be attractive.
Yes.
When those are uncomfortable garments.
I may be a bad guy to talk to about this. I think the sexiest thing a woman could wear is sweatpants. If she's comfortable with you, she's going to wear comfortable clothes. Mm-hmm. And if she's comfortable with you, that's sexy to me. That's attractive to me. Mm-hmm. Like a woman feeling safe and comfortable with you. Like that stuff means something. That to me is huge. So I may not be the best person to talk to about this stuff.
Well, I'm more bringing it up as a commentary on society.
Yes. Yeah.
Because there is so much pressure put on. And if we're expected to buy new underwear every 6 months,
I'm sorry.
Can I get a third job?
Right.
Because
right.
There's no way I can afford to do that because they're expensive.
Well, especially considering you're paying more you are paying more financially than anybody else.
Yeah, because how many underwear are manufactured in the United States?
Yeah, right. There's strong point.
There's tariffs on all of them because they're being imported.
So that again, the average tariff rate on women's undergarments is 15.5% compared to 11.5% for men. And that means that women are going to pay $1.10 on average more than the 75 cents men will pay.
Yeah.
That ain't right. Getting some good stuff, though. There is a high school freshman in South Carolina named Carson who serves as the equipment manager for the JV basketball team, and the coaches surprised him recently by putting him in the game.
Oh.
Carson has Down syndrome and never expected to play. And when he heard his name called, he was thrilled. He ran around the gym hyping up the crowd. He even made a basket.
Nice.
This is what sports is really all about.
Yes.
I love winning and losing. I love rooting for my teams and all that. That's the essence of sports right there.
Mm-hmm.
A woman in Ohio named Megan has a grandfather who struggled to speak because he has advanced Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. So she gave him a sound box with an old recording of him saying, "I love you, Megan."
Aww.
And it will pull your heart out of your chest and make you look at it. It is going to get you so good. It's such a beautiful video. Firefighters in Massachusetts rescued a dog from a frozen pond last week. They think the dog was in the icy water for about 20 minutes, but thankfully the dog is in good condition and will fully recover.
Nice.
Thankful for
that. That's good.
There's so many of these stories that we do every year about this and everything. It's really, it's awfully helpful if you can keep an eye on those little furry guys.
Oh, yeah.
And help them, you know, protect them from themselves in many ways.
Well, and especially now when the ice is so dangerous with the warming and cooling and the, yeah.
Yeah. And five Asian small clawed otters at the Living Shores Aquarium in New Hampshire are using their little paws to paint Valentines.
Oh.
The aquarium calls the work otograms. That's good.
Yeah.
And some of them will be sent to hospitals, hospital patients today. And I'm going to see if I can show Melissa a little of this video here of these otters doing this. I've seen penguins do something similar where they put paint on the bottom of their feet.
Oh, yeah.
And so then they just walk on the...
So they have paper on the ground and then they have paint right in front of where they're dropping treats for them. So they step in the paint and then they run back across the paper to get the treats. Aww.
It's so much fun. That's so it's
adorable.
The penguin that I saw do this, it just walked from like there was two people. One person was holding the penguin and then the other person on the other side called the penguin to them. And the penguin just goes waddling over there and walks on it. I think that's one of the funnest things in the world. Anytime I see it, that's awesome. And how great is that, that they're able to give them the hospital patients?
Yeah.
I know that there are a lot of like grade schools that do that for our senior living yes. centers and that.
Mm-hmm.
Just heroes, all of you.
Yes.
Keep up the great work.
And I do have one more good story. There are women's underwear produced in the United States.
Hey, all
you
right.
You can find them. They're just not the big name brands.
Good to know, though. That's good. And one more time, we want to remind you to pull up your Facebook page and type in there Stone Age Gem Minerals and More, or go to WFHR's Facebook page and share with us how you met your significant other, how you met your other, and you'll have a chance to win this Ethiopian opal ring for Valentine's Day.
Woo-hoo.
It's custom made. It's one of a kind ring. Will be resized as you need it to be. Travis, the owner of Stone Age Gem, is going to pick the winner. He'll let you know on Facebook, and tomorrow on the morning show, we'll let you know who the winner was.
So make sure you get on there, share your stories. We want to hear them.
Again, that is Stone Age Gem Minerals and More. Just type that into your Facebook page and you should be able to find it. Or go to WFHR's page, which you should have already liked. But if you haven't liked the page, and go ahead and leave that story on there. I cannot wait to be able to look at this later tonight and be able to see all these stories.
That's exciting.
Have yourself a great day, Melissa.
You too, James.
Have a good one out there, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day from all of us at WFHR. Stick around for Morning Magazine.